Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Along with Ross Tucker, I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two. That means it's time for Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. If you're looking for a great way to stay in Happy Valley for the football game, contact Mark, 800-519-8467. This is where you show up in Happy Valley. RV waiting for you on Friday. Stay through Sunday. We've got a couple home games coming up, including Michigan next week. Again, great way to stay in Happy Valley. Call Mark, 800-519-8467. Ross, we're back again talking Penn State football post-Ohio State last weekend. A much better effort by Penn State, but still the same result with a loss. Your final thoughts on that game?
Boy, I feel like I got a lot of them, and I think you actually summarized it, Jim. they obviously played much, much better, and that was fun to see. I know you and I were talking before the game as I was driving back from my college game of Buffalo and Bowling Green. I told you I thought Penn State was going to come to play. I thought it would be a very competitive game. I certainly like Penn State getting the points, for those of you that are so inclined in that regard. And that's exactly what happened. But ultimately, as has been the case most of the years against Ohio State, they still came up short. And I think that's one of the things I think about, and this is probably more off-season conversation, but Franklin and some of their jobs, his name has been mentioned about, they really can't get over the Ohio State hump. And really, were it not for that blocked field goal in 2016, they wouldn't have ever beat them. And the frustrating thing, I think, for most Penn State fans, I think Penn State was better in 17 and probably 18 and should have won those games. But that's neither here nor there. You know, I tweeted this, Jim, Saturday night while I was watching the game at Ross Tucker NFL. And I meant it as a positive. I don't know if people took it that way, but I can't believe Penn State lost to Illinois. Like, watching Penn State play at Ohio State Saturday night and how well they were playing both sides of the ball, it is hard to believe, hard to imagine that they lost to Illinois, but they did. And so we all have to move past that. You know, one of the things I really liked, I mean, Penn State, they completed and converted more than 50% of their third downs, Jim. I mean, they really did a nice job. Sean Clifford did a really nice job on third down. They kept moving the chains. They had long, sustainable drives. It was an impressive performance by Penn State. But they still lost. And I think we have to get to the point where we're past, it was nice to stay close with Ohio State, right? A couple of things jump out to me. Number one, even though Penn State played well, even though Penn State was in it, it certainly feels like, especially offensively, that Ohio State still has better players at almost every spot. You know, you watch some of the runs, including that big one that Travion Henderson had, their true freshman running back. Penn State doesn't have a guy like him, like Travion Henderson. You know, the offensive line for Ohio State is better than Penn State. Certainly their receivers are, and Penn State's got a good receiving core. Parker Washington had a really good game. Ultimately, though, it's weird, Jim, because it feels like Sean Clifford had a really good game, but if we're being honest, the difference in the game was the fumble, defensive touchdown, and the interception. I mean, those were the two plays that were ultimately the difference in the game. I am not putting this all on Sean Clifford. I don't do that, right? I mean, it's a team game, but it's hard to watch what unfolded and think those weren't the two plays that were the difference in the game. And if He doesn't fumble, and they don't return it for a touch, or at least they don't return it for a touchdown, but certainly doesn't fumble, and doesn't throw that really a terrible interception. I mean, a terrible. Both of those are sort of inexcusable errors when you're trying to beat a really good team like Ohio State.
Before the season started, Ross, my take was this team is going to go or not go, depending on how Sean Clifford goes. And if you look through the season, Iowa, he's playing well. They had to replace him. They end up losing the game. Following week against Illinois, he's really bad, probably because he's hurting. They don't do well. Even in an Ohio State game, a microcosm, they're playing really well as Sean Clifford does. But whose mistakes are they that turn the game around? Sean Clifford's. So it seems like everything is about Sean Clifford. They go as they go. Couple things I did want to ask you about. One, we were talking before the show about it a little bit. You missed seeing it because you were still on the road. There was what was called the snap infraction. I know you were a center in the NFL, so I just wanted to lean on your expertise a little bit. It was kind of a weird call, this snap infraction.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I did not get to see it because that was early in the game when I was driving. You know, I know you looked up the rule. I'd be happy to hear it. I know if there's any type of movement or double clutch or anything where the center doesn't actually snap the ball, that's what I always thought was a snap infraction. But I had one time, Jim, where I snapped it at the Meadowlands against the Jets, and the nose tackle flinched right before I was about to snap it. He kind of jumped the count. And so what happens there is your body sort of naturally, you lower your butt so you don't get run over, right? So yeah. That sort of, I began the process of lowering my butt as I was snapping it because the guy, Dwayne Robertson, jumped the count. And as a result, the ball hit my butt as it was going back to Drew Bledsoe and kind of just rolled back 2 or 3 yards and he had to jump on it so we didn't lose the ball. And it sounds like, talking with you, that that's sort of what happened in this instance on some level?
Yes, the ball, he didn't flinch, he didn't double clutch. He started backwards with it, and it appeared like the ball pretty much slipped out of his hands and dribbled back. Looking up the rules, here's legally snapping the ball is handing or passing it backward from its position on the ground with a quick and continuous motion. It seems like the differentiation is going backwards versus, you know, kind of picking it up, simulating the start of the snap, or, you know, moving it forward. That didn't happen. But there was one other part of the rule where it says, if during any backward motion of a legal snap, the ball slips from the snapper's hand, it becomes a backward pass and is in play. So that seems to be like the perfect description of what happened.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I don't know, but obviously that was a gigantic play in the game. And if they called it poorly, that was a tough break for sure for Penn State.
It definitely was. All right, Ross, now let's flip the page. Let's start to look forward. My question to you is, it's much better effort against Ohio State, but still a loss. It's still now 3 losses in a row. My question is, I think Penn State's talented enough to win any of the games they have coming up on their schedule. What I wonder is the team's take. Can James Franklin get them up for each of these games after a 3-game losing streak? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, it's funny because when we did the preseason, you know, wins, losses, right? I think most of us were at either 9-3 or 10-2. Is that fair?
Yes, yes.
And
in fact,
so,
I think 9 wins was the over-under, I believe.
Right. So they got to win out, you know, just to be there. I agree. I think they can. I think one thing that's changed a little bit is that Michigan State's a lot better than we thought they would be. So that certainly changes things. I don't know if Franklin is going to be able to do it. You know, I think nowadays they just put so much into the college football playoff and winning the Big Ten championship. We're going to find out a lot about sort of the senior leadership for Penn State and what they've got in terms of the veteran crew. It really does feel weird that they had those big wins, you know, at Wisconsin, against Auburn. And here we are with three losses, not even being ranked in the college football playoff top 25, not feeling good about the season right now. I think what the saving grace is, if there is one, is if they do win out, those would be big wins over Michigan and Michigan State, and they would feel good about the season. They would feel good about sort of what they accomplished. So I think that's, you know, what I would envision, you know, James Franklin saying to those guys, and rightfully so.
And we can't look past Maryland either. Think back last year, what happened against Maryland.
No.
I was a little bit surprised that this point spread came out. Penn State is a double-digit favorite on the road against Maryland. What do we know about Maryland?
Well, we know that they've got a streaky quarterback in, you know, Tagovailoa. He's had some games, Jim, where he's been awesome. He's had some games where he's been bad. They have a really good receiver in Rakim Jarrett, who lit up Penn State last year. And we don't know how Penn State's going to react after that tough loss to Ohio State. But I would think after what happened last year that Penn State would come out and take it to them. I kind of think that's what's going to happen. But, you know, that's the thing about the Big Ten. Rutgers, Maryland, they're good enough to beat Penn State now, Jim. I'm not sure that was always the case, but if Penn State doesn't play well and there's turnovers and stuff, these teams can beat them.
Give me a prediction for the game. It's an 11-point spread last I took a look.
Yeah, I think it'll be Penn State 27, Maryland 17. I've got faith in this Penn State defense.
All right, very good. Penn State winning it by 10. We have Ask Ross coming up. Don't worry, that's coming next. That's where we take your questions. Get the app, Keystone Sports. There's an Ask Ross button there. Send in all your questions. Penn State football, candy bars, pizza, whatever you like, you could ask Ross. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.